Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And ho, 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 welcome to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast dedicated to books by Asian and Asian American authors. It is our final mid-month book news check-in of the year. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And yeah, Rira, I think this episode is actually going to come out right before Christmas. So happy holidays. Hopefully you're surviving your family time this year.
I mean, have a happy holiday, everyone. I'm probably not going to have a happy holiday. It's funny because like everyone around me knows how much I hate Christmas.
Oh. It's fine. It's only once a year. That's true. This year you have a good excuse because, oh, we're still keeping safe for the pandemic. So, you know, we can't do too much. I think people will understand.
I just really hate the capitalistic nature of of Christmas. Like, I really don't like the consumerism aspect of it.
You say that, but I feel like both of us are still going to be out Christmas shopping this weekend.
I mean, I have to Christmas shop because it's an obligation.
Obligation brought on by the rampant consumerism.
Yes. Oh,
man. Well, good thing.
Well, before, yeah. I mean, like, before we started recording, like, Marvin and I were just, like, we were just, like, ranting about everything. I just finished watching Cowboy Bebop, and boy.
Yeah, we have thoughts.
They made some choices.
Yeah. If you want to hear my thoughts about it, you can listen to the Good Pop Culture Club episode we did a couple of weeks ago. That being said, at least it's been canceled. I don't know if that's something to celebrate or not. Hopefully John Cho will still find work.
John Cho is John Cho. He will be fine.
I wish it was better is all I will say on this show. Anyways, yeah, Rira has graciously compiled the latest book and publishing news. We have a shorter list compared to the last few months. I guess because it's the holidays, right? Usually things are a little bit slower around this time of year.
I guess so. Like all of the publishing professionals, they should have gone on break by now. It usually starts pretty early.
Yeah, it's always, and the year is always tough to get anything done in any profession because everyone's taking their vacation. So yeah, let's get started with the latest book deals. Amira, what's our first bit of publishing news?
All right. At auction, Quilltree bought North American rights to Angela Hsieh's middle grade fantasy graphic novel, The Traveler's Guide to Geozoology. Winner of the HarperCollins Children's Books 2020 Diverse Voices Open Inbox Contest. In this debut, Lou feels distant from her grandmother's son, both because of a language barrier and because her grandmother's adventures as a geozoologist take her far and wide. When San Ama's monthly letters stop, Lou uses her Ama's old journal, written in a language that Lou can barely read, to try to close the physical and emotional distance between them. Publication is set for winter 2024.
Is this another dead grandparent story?
It doesn't sound like the grandmother is dead, though.
Maybe she's on an adventure?
She's on an adventure, and now she is missing.
But yeah, it sounded cute, and it sounded fun at the beginning. And then, like, when you got the part where the letters stop, I'm like, oh, no. Is this a sad time story?
I like the idea of the main character not being fluent in the same language and having to, like, exercise that part of her brain in order to solve this mystery.
I wonder if they're the same as me, where I am not fluent. Like, I'm fluent in speaking Mandarin Chinese, but reading wise, I took enough Chinese school as a kid to be able to recognize words and piece them together based on, because like Chinese words are pictograms, right? They're, if you understand root words or certain patterns, then you can kind of read most things. I wonder if something like that. But it sounds really fun. It's a graphic novel. Diverse Voices Open Inbox. Is that like a pitch competition?
I think so.
Cool. Well, congrats to Angela on her book deal. All right, next up, Astra and Mint Edition US acquired world rights to My Indigo World, A True Story About the Color Blue by Rosa Chang. In her nonfiction picture book debut, Korean-American artist Rosa Chang tells the story of creating a community garden and making art that celebrates indigo and its importance in Korean culture, along with many other cultures around the world. Publication is slated for spring 2023.
Rira. I do not know the importance of indigo in Korean culture.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you knew anything about this. All I really know is, isn't that the dye they use in jeans, right?
It's... All I know really about indigo is when they say indigo child, it means that the child is very artistic and pretty intuitive when it comes to picking up skills. So that is something that a lot of Koreans use, I guess. But honestly, don't know. Maybe I should read this book to find out.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Random House imprint Anne Schwartz Books acquired world rights to Sita Singh's Mango Memories, a picture book about an Indian girl harvesting mangoes with her family for the first time and wondering, as she listens to everyone's favorite mango memory, if she'll find one of her own. Nabi H. Ali, the illustrator of Lakshmi's Mooch, will illustrate. Publication is set for summer 2024.
Go for a mango right now.
In winter?
Yeah. Anytime's a good time for mango. I mean, it's out of season, so it's probably not as good right now, but...
In Korea, fruit can be more expensive than meat because they have to, like, import all of their fruit. And it is crazy because there would be times where, like, a melon would be, like, $50.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was fortunate to spend summers in a tropical island, so we got
tons of
mangoes.
So you guys have all of the fruit.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Little Brown acquired in a preempt the YA novel All the Yellow Suns by essayist and feminist advocate Malavika Khanan. This immersive novel tells the story of a queer Indian-American protagonist living in a conservative Florida suburb who falls for her wealthy and complicated white female classmate when she is asked to join a secret society of artists, vandals, and mischief makers who fight for justice at their school. The book was made for fans of Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe and is set for publication in summer 2023.
A secret society of artists, vandals, and mischief makers. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you have secret societies at your school?
You know, it's funny you asked that because we kind of did. We had, so in the San Gabriel Valley, the YMCA here runs a program called like the High Y and Joy High Y Clubs, which are pretty much like high school versions of fraternities and sororities. They're ostensibly service clubs, but they all have like an initiation process you have to go through that's pretty much pledging where shit happens. So I don't know why that's the first thing my mind went to, but yeah, we did have societies, I guess, but nothing like this. Like we had like, you know, your burnouts and your art kids, but not like secret revolutionaries.
Yeah, it's an interesting combo.
Also, I feel like the setting of being in Florida has something to do with that. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Next up, Quill Tree bought Love and Resistance by debut author Kara H.L. Chen in a preempt. The YA contemporary novel follows a Taiwanese-American teen who joins forces with a secret society of students intent on ending the school's culture around bullying, all while making friends and falling in love along the way. Publication is scheduled for summer 2023.
Yeah, another book that has to do with like fighting the system.
Interesting, interesting.
I think I was lucky that I didn't have to deal with a lot of bullying growing up, but I do. So everything I know about bullying culture is from like reading about it in the news or like watching Saturday morning specials.
Yeah, grew up around a lot of bullying. And I feel like now it's worse. Because you can't escape from it because it's now online.
It's true.
And it's like way more intense. And it really breaks my heart when I hear news about like 12-year-olds getting cyberbullied. And so like books like these that are saying like, hey, fight against bullying and injustice at your school. I really like the fact that it's teaching kids to have agency and to really like team up and stand up against terrible things like bullying.
Yeah. Our next deal, Soho Teen acquired Gail Agnes Mushikavanghu's debut novel, Ride or Die. The book is about adrenaline-obsessed Lily Crawford, who can't help herself when it comes to chasing thrills, danger, and fun. But when she strikes up an anonymous correspondence with X, a mysterious student at her school, he challenges Lily to a game that begins to test even her no-holds-barred quest for adventure. Publication is planned for spring 2023.
I like the title, Ride or Die.
Yeah. This sounds very ominous, like kind of like I'm getting death game vibes from it.
I don't know if it's that level of danger. I don't know why, but Fast and the Furious just like pop into mind, you know? It's like kids who are like street racing at night. It's like, yeah. Like
I'm glad you went there because this reminds me of like an R.O. Stein title, like Fear Street or Goosebumps, like Ride or Die, right?
Are you someone who really likes... I guess like roller coasters and like thrill.
I do love a good thrill.
I'm a coward. I can ride on roller coasters, but I can never do like Tower of Terror. I can never go bungee jumping. I can never do skydiving. I can't do any of that stuff.
You don't like drops then?
No, I don't like drops and I will never be on a motorcycle. Like no way in hell.
So
I am the opposite of an adrenaline junkie.
What about a moped?
No, not a moped. Anything where there is no seatbelt attached to it is a no-go for me.
All right.
Next up, Waterbrook has bought at auction world rights to My Forever Home, written by Ha Din and illustrated by Bao Lu. The book is based on the author's childhood experience living in a refugee camp in the Philippines after the fall of Saigon and sheds light on the Vietnamese-American diaspora through the eyes of a child. Publication is slated for summer 2023.
Wow. That's really cool. Also sad, but really cool. I feel like picture books are such a, like, if I want to teach my young nieces and nephews about like, important things, I'm glad to have these picture books where I can, like, show them. Here are some experiences that, you know, your friends or someone you know might have gone through, or just to understand what a refugee experience is like.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned this a lot, but, like, the refugee experience is not something the older generation, the boomer generation, talks about a lot. So it has been up to the millennial authors and the late Gen Z authors to put these stories on page and make them more accessible. Because if we don't share these stories in a language that kids can understand, it's just going to disappear. So yeah, it's nice that we are getting these types of stories. And also, like, picture books are not all happy-go-lucky stuff. They can explore deeper, grimmer stories. And I like the fact that this is actually based on the author's own experience.
Yeah, congrats to Ha and to Bao. Next up, Page Street Kids bought world rights to Swimming Towards a Dream, Yusra Mardini's Incredible Journey from Refugee to Olympic Swimmer, written by Rima Faruqi and illustrated by Asma Inaye. The picture book biography follows Yusra's dangerous passage from Syria to Germany to eventually represent her country on the refugee Olympic team. Publication is set for fall 2023.
Another nonfiction picture book. And this is also like a refugee story. So
yeah. Congrats to Reem and Asma on their book deal.
All right. Next up, FSG preempted world rights to Susan Yoon's debut picture book, Waiting for Tomorrow. Illustrated by Julie Kwan, the book is about two sisters planning a special surprise for their father's return home after a long time away. Publication is set for winter 2023.
Wow.
That's a common experience for Asian immigrant families where their dad is like doing business overseas or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely was the case for my family. You know, when I was growing up, especially throughout middle school and high school, I probably saw my dad a few months out of every year. Was it the same for your family?
See, I did not know this until recently, but my dad went to America a year before my family did. So he was not there for my entire age two. So there was that. And also like when we were living in like California and New Jersey, like he would do a lot of business trips back in Korea. So it was a lot of like back and forth.
Okay.
So it was a different type of absence. It was very much like random stretches of time where I would not see him.
Yeah, I think, you know, during the time we were growing up was a time of rapid globalization. So the need for people who could do business in both countries, that was where the jobs were and that was where the money was. So, you know.
This is pre-internet too. So people could not like send emails and stuff. They had to like actually physically be there or use phone cards.
So I'm glad there's a picture book that also, you know, represents that experience as well. Really excited for that. Next up, Underlined bought debut author Shirley's contemporary YA rom-com, Fake Dates and Mooncakes. Pitched as Crazy Rich Asians meets What If It's Us, in which an aspiring teen chef enters a mooncake-making contest to bring publicity to his aunt's struggling Chinese takeout restaurant, but discovers the recipe for love is more complicated when a new customer, the attractive son of a business magnate, asks him to be his fake date for a glitzy wedding. Publication is slated for summer 2023.
Interesting.
Okay.
Fake dates and mooncakes.
I feel like they buried the lead that this isn't a gay romance.
Yeah, I it sounds sweet. I really am interested in reading it. And of course, like more stories about saving your family's restaurant. I feel like that is its own genre.
It's definitely a type of rom-com. I mean, I was reading this and imagining this could make a really good like Hallmark movie.
Yeah, but it's a YA rom-com. So I feel like it has like a different flavor to it. Oh, yeah. Different flavor. Wow. Did not think about that when I said that.
So clever. So clever. Yes, Fake Dates and Mooncakes is also an amazing title. So congrats on that.
I think it's interesting that it's a mooncake making contest. Like, I've never heard of that before.
It's the kind of contest that can only exist in the rom-com world. So, you know.
I thought people just bought mooncakes. Is that something that you make in your family's house? Or I don't know.
Yeah. I know some people have the mold. There are different kinds of mooncakes, too. Like, there's, like, the ones that are more mochi-like. There's the ones they bake. The world of mooncake is vast and complicated. But, yeah. It sounds cute.
Okay, next up, Henry Holt bought world rights to middle grade contemporary fantasy graphic novel Ghost Book by Remy Lai. The book follows 11-year-old July Chen, who befriends the wandering soul of a boy, only to find out that their fates are intertwined, and in order for the boy to live, she has to die. Publication is slated for spring 2023.
This reminds me of one of the classic Goosebumps stories, The Ghost Next Door.
You read a lot of Goosebumps growing up.
I did. I purchased a lot of Goosebumps books because they always came with special goodies in the monthly Scholastic book order form. I don't know if you had those at your school.
Oh, yeah, definitely had them. Yeah, it's a graphic novel. So I think it will have like a lot of cool. I don't know if this is like Chinese underworld.
Yeah, there's no clues about that. But, you know, a good ghost story is always a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I'm excited to learn more about this book as it comes out. All right, our next deal. Roaring Brook bought at auction Ruth Chan's debut middle grade graphic novel Uprooted. This graphic memoir follows eighth grader Ruth as her family moves from Canada to Hong Kong, where dad has a new job, mom is closer to family, and Ruth feels lonelier than ever. Amid struggles with her rusty Cantonese and hangouts with new friends, Ruth's story is interspersed with the story of her father's miraculous birth in exile during the Sino-Japanese War, weaving a tapestry of perseverance, triumph, and love. Publication is set for fall 2023. Wow, this is a very, it sounds pretty epic.
Yeah, it sounds epic. And also, I like how it's reverse fish out of story, you know, because a lot of the times it's like they immigrate here to America and they feel like they're you know, they're adjusting to American culture, but this is the reverse.
Yeah, I'm sure moving there in eighth grade would have been tough because, you know, during eighth grade, you're kind of in the in-between phase where you're just past being a kid, but you're not like a teen yet. And so I think change is much more, it's felt much more during that. But I feel like, I don't know, looking back, spending high school in Hong Kong would have been a lot of fun. And Hong Kong's actually one of those places where you can actually get by without.
Yeah, you can get by with English.
Yeah, and I really appreciate stories where you have people reflecting on the stories of their parents as well. Because like we've mentioned many times on this podcast, for our parents, especially for our grandparents, like they grew up in a time when war was rampant in Asia, right? You're either fighting yourselves, or you're fighting the Japanese, or you're fighting, you know, the Europeans. And that causes a lot of generational trauma to be passed down. And understanding that, I think, is the first step to understanding our own histories, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, so our last book deal, Levine Querido acquired Dadaji's Paintbrush by Rashmi Surdepande and illustrated by Ruchi Masane. The picture book follows a boy who uses the love for painting that he and his Dadaji shared to explore his grief and continue his grandfather's legacy. Publication is slated for fall 2022. I like how they're using painting as a way to grieve their grandfather. That is a very interesting way to honor your grandparents.
Yeah, people grieve in different ways, and I think, you know, using art is one way.
I'm expecting a lot of beautiful illustrations because it is about painting. So I wonder just how it's going to just jump out of the page.
Yeah, congrats to Rashmi. And with that, that'll do it for this month's new publishing news. We do have one piece of Asian American book news that we want to highlight. Rira, tell me about You and Me.
So You and Me is the first Asian American woman-owned bookstore, and it opened in Manhattan's Chinatown on December 11th. The owner is Lucy Yu, who's 27, who grew up in the suburbs of LA. Hey, a transplant. YM is her mother's initials, which is the reason why she came up with the name You and Me. There's a bar and cafe attached to the bookstore. I think they have around over 1,000 books by authors of Asian descent. And the cafe and bar, they serve Asian snacks like red bean buns and sesame balls. So from what I've gathered on Twitter, it seems like a lot of Asian authors who are based in New York City, they're going to be doing book signings there. There might be some events with the Asian American Writers Workshop. And yeah, it sounds like a really cool bookstore. I've seen pictures. It's pretty small, but very chill. You know, it's a little bit sad that it's the first Asian American woman owned bookstore because you would think that there were more, but.
Yeah. I mean, Asian owned bookstores in general that caters to like Asian literature. I feel like the closest thing I can think of are those bookstores in the Mitsuwas.
Yeah. Most notably the Kinokuniyas. there's one in DTLA in Little Tokyo. I always stop by because they have like a huge Asian American bookshelf section. I try to stop by every single time I'm in Little Tokyo because they have an Asian American books display, and a lot of new releases are displayed there.
Yeah.
So I'd like to browse. There's a lot of books that are written in Japanese, but they haven't been translated. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, no, congrats to Lucy. I feel like, we have our Books and Boba bookshop, but it's only virtual. And, you know, turning that into a physical store. Just running a bookstore in general in today's day and age seems like an endeavor, but...
Yeah, opening a bookstore during the pandemic, that is brave. it's brave, and also Manhattan, where the rent is just astronomical. She must have had a lot of challenges.
Yeah, but also having a space to gather community is great. And I know a lot of authors out there on the East Coast in New York that this can be a new home base for them. I know if we were to start a bookstore, it would probably be a bookstore / boba shop, right? Obviously.
I mean, yeah, like that's kind of mandatory. Considering our name, yeah.
But I don't know if either of us will have the guts, the fortitude to like open a physical bookstore.
I barely had the fortitude to join this podcast. And and as someone who did used to work at a bookstore, yeah, it's very challenging. The whole cliche line of people don't read anymore. Like, I hate that line, but there is some truth to it. Which is why like a lot of bookstores have like coffee shops and like bars inside them, because that is like another way to, you know, gain customers. So, I mean, I like the fact that people come in for like food and drinks and they're trapped among books. It is a good way to have them like browse.
And, yeah, I can go for some sesame balls and then, you know, check out some books. I am excited to check out this store next time I go to New York, whenever that is. I don't know when I'll be flying again, but it's definitely on my list to visit. So yeah, congrats to
I was looking at the pictures of like the Google Street, like the Google Street map view. And I was like, oh, I know where this is. I know exactly where this is. It's very close to where my partner used to live. So I was like, oh, okay. If I ever visit, I definitely want to stop by and congratulate Lucy in person, because this is amazing.
And yeah, I guess with that, that will do it for Books and Boba for the year 2021. Rira, we made it through another year.
Another year of books, meaning that we've read 12 books, you guys, this year. If you've been reading along with us, congratulations on meeting.
Technically 11 because our December book is extended. But also we read a ton of books for, we had a lot of author interviews this year, a lot more than I think we usually do.
Yeah.
We read a lot. I read a 700 page book last weekend, so we can interview Fonda Lee. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm like looking at our list of books that we've read this year. I'm just going to go through them. The Magical Language of Others by E.J. Coe. She of the Mountains by Vivek Shraya. Girls of Paper and Fire by Natasha Ian. How to Pronounce Knife, Suvan Kam Tamavangsa. Silence of Bones by Jun Hur. Happy Endings by Tian Kim Lam. Ocean of Minutes by Tia Lim. Patron Saints of Nothing by Randy Ribai. Chemistry by Waiki Wang, Inugami Clan by Seishi Yokomizo, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong, and we are reading She Who Became the Sun by Shelley Parker Chan. So lots of diverse genres.
What a spread of yummy, yummy books.
And we read more because, like you said, author interviews.
Yeah, a lot of rom-coms this year. I think I've read more romance and rom-com than I've ever had in my entire life.
I feel like I did not choose that many rom-coms, though.
A lot of our author interviews was for rom-com.
That is true, a lot of author interviews, yeah. But it's very much appreciated because, my God, 2021 was such a...
We did need some fluff in our life.
It was a grim year, y'all. We thought 2021 would be better than 2020. In some ways, it was. But in other ways, I feel like it drained a lot of the remaining hope I had for humanity.
You know, we got 2022 coming up. Surely it'll be a better year, even though
don't say that. It's probably
midterm not. Midterm elections coming up and all sorts of Supreme Court shenanigans going down. Never mind.
Things are grim. Yeah. I cannot believe like pretty much two years have passed since the pandemic started. I just feel like it's just been one long year. And when I look back, I'm like, oh no, like I aged 2 years since then.
It's the new normal. It's the new world order. We've read about this in many, many pandemic books that, the world will be changed after a global pandemic. And I think in like both subtle and unsubtle ways they have, right?
Yeah. I mean, the listeners out there who are attending high school and college, you guys have been in lockdown for pretty much 2 years. Like, you've been schooling virtually, and I, like, how are you guys doing? Are you okay?
Oh, well, hopefully this podcast has brought a little joy into your lives. I'm listening to Rira and I, try to be smart in discussing books, and I look forward to discussing more of those with you next year. Now that Rira is, more free, we're going to hopefully try to do more stuff to engage with our book club members. I'm putting it out there right now so that now we have to do it. Now that it's on the air. But yeah, keep your eyes open for that. And Rira, before we go, please remind us of our book club pick for December and January.
Like I mentioned before, we are reading She Who Became the Sun by Shelley Parker Chan for the month of December and January. It is a fantasy book based on the Ming Dynasty. It is around 400 pages, so that is why we are giving people 2 months to read it.
Yeah, this book has been winning a lot of end of year awards.
Yeah. And it reached like the New York Times bestsellers list. It was on my TBR pile when it was first announced as it was like coming out. So I'm really excited to read it. It's nice to read new books so that we're, you know, currently on quote unquote trend.
You know, we've never been one to follow the trends, right? We want to read all sorts of stuff that we want.
Listen, I read whatever I want. So you guys just have to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, Rira, thank you for accompanying me during this most difficult year. Wishing you a safe and a tolerable holiday season.
Maybe in 2022, we'll actually record in our studio because we have not actually recorded in person since February 2020.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. I'm actually seeing Marvin in person this weekend, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think the last time I saw you was when I was dropping something off at your like front door.
Yeah, it was literally for like 2 minutes.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to Books and Boba. If you do need to get in your last minute Christmas shopping, don't forget that you can support our podcast as well as your local bookstores by ordering a book on the Books and Boba bookshop.org page, where you can find lists of books that are covered on the show as well as curated lists made by Rira in a variety of genres and styles. So check that out. Just go to booksandbubble.com and click on the bookshop link. But yeah, until next year, have a great holiday season and have a happy new year.
Thanks, happy everyone. New year, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Books and Boba. This podcast was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu and edited and produced by Marvin Yue. Follow the book club on Twitter and Instagram by going to @booksandboba and engage with us on Goodreads on our Goodreads group. You can also check out past episodes of the podcast by going to booksandboba.com and by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast app. Don't forget, you can support Books and Boba and Asian American authors by purchasing books at our bookshop.org account. Check out the link in our show notes and also at booksandboba.com. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian diaspora. Learn more about the collective and check out our fellow Potluck shows by visiting the website podcastpotluck.com. Thanks for listening.
Life gets a little crazy sometimes. Sometimes it's confusing, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's beautiful, and sometimes it can just piss us off. Enter First of All Podcast. It's a safe space for real conversations about the things that we all struggle with, celebrate, contemplate, and work through in our daily lives. I'm your host, Mindy Chang. I'm an actor, filmmaker, and entrepreneur with a colorful background, a full life, and brilliant friends who I love to unpack life with to share with all of you. They are everyday people like you and me, ranging from award-winning artists, cultural icons, powerful CEOs, my hilarious childhood friends, and even my mom. Tune in for honest conversations on mental health, dating, sex, family, career, culture, and everything in between. Listen to First of All wherever you find podcasts, part of the Potluck Podcast Collective. Thank you.